when you do that. Hi, everyone. Are you excited about seeing the Buffyverse actors? Very cool. I have 2 points of information to share with you before they come out here. First of all, this room will be cleared after this Q&A so that they can bring everyone in for the one after that. Unless you have a mobility access pass, then you can stay in your seat. I'm not going to make you go out and come back in again. There will be lots of room. There's seats 3,000 people, so don't worry if you want to see both Q&As. You will be able to get to see both, but the room does have to be cleared after this one. Secondly, of course, we're taking questions in this Q&A, hence the term Q&A. Ziggy and Kelly, can you stand up? Wave your hands at everybody. These two ladies are going to have microphones. We're going to ask you to come and stand in line behind them. We'll take turns giving questions to our guests. So without any further ado, we want to bring out Andy Hallett, James Leary, Claire Kramer, and Lisa Starwood, Ben Feinberg, and Lisa Splendon.
That's the question of the weekend.
Whoa! He's coming. He's coming. Andy will be here momentarily. But until then,
you have us. And this hat, which was standing for Andy.
It's green.
There's green on it.
How's everybody doing today?
So are we, is there a microphone situation? Is it, y'all get two microphones?
Oh.
Wow. Schnazzy. I don't use that word lightly either. Schnazzy.
It's reserved for very special moments.
Like
special
this moment. Schnazzy yeah. Moments.
By the way, DragonCon was on CNN this morning. If anyone
really?
Yeah. It was. They showed part of the parade and announced that it was the world's biggest non-specific convention. Yes, CNN got it right again. Yeah. Thank you guys for all getting up. I know last night was a huge party night. I was part of it to some extent. And so was James. to a larger extent.
I did that. I bought some Epsom salt. And guys, if you haven't done this before, please check it out. Soak an Epsom salt for about 20, 25 minutes. Listen to some Chet Baker. And talk to your guy.
And then he puts on the hat.
And then I put on the hat. Which is my guy.
I just ordered corn.
Did we say corn? Okay, you got time out.
Alright, so thank you guys so much for coming.
Great, thank you, great show. Thank you. See you next year.
And if you have any questions for Nick, he's here to answer them.
Yeah.
He may tell you the truth, he may lie. It depends on the question.
You know me so well.
I know.
Or you may say yeah. No answer.
All right.
I kind of need a man.
So, okay.
That's a small thing. Okay, why don't we start asking questions and then we'll try to answer questions.
How fast can a cheetah run?
How fast can a cheetah run? I don't know, but they've stolen the recipe. If you look at the front of a cheetah box, it says, stolen the recipe. Okay. There we go. Hello. Okay. Okay. It's very sweet. It's a sweetheart. Okay, anywho. One of many. No.
Hi, sweetheart. How's the panel going?
Okay, so let's commence. Hey!
This question is for everyone. If you weren't here as guests, what would be your fan track?
If what?
If you weren't here as guests, which fan track would you be on?
Okay.
What would you be geeking over?
Okay, what are the options? There's Star Trek. There's
Star Trek, Star Wars, Stargate.
Okay. Is there an X-Files?
There is.
That's it. I love the X-Files. I love Dean. That's it. Sorry, are you interrupting me?
I'm still trying to figure out what my question is.
I'm sharing my brilliance with the people. No, the question is, if you weren't here as an actor representing your show,
right.
I'd screw you with Buffy.
Okay. It's not the Kitchen Confidential booth that I have.
It's not the Kitchen Confidential booth. I'm so sorry. But then what fan cast would you be on? And my answer is the X-Files, so you can't say that. So sorry. Next. Art, space writing, young novels, comic books.
Huh.
Aren't they graphic novels? Is that the PC term? Okay.
Or porn.
Is there a porn track?
Is there like an Al Jolson booth here? And then no mammy? How about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Fans for Christ?
Hi.
Do they have a theme song? Great question. I have no idea. Can I think about it for a while? That's a big picture of me in the back. That is just... Everyone, just turn around. I'm much larger back there than I am. That's the oddest thing in the world. Oh, I'm over here. Yeah, you stay looking this way. Battlestar Galactica, second? The original. Just because that's what I was really asked when I raised myself to, you know? Richard Hatch is here. Is he the winner of Survivor? That is right. His name's Richard Hatch, right? Who got, he got arrested. Richard Hatch just got arrested, right?
That Richard Hatch is in jail.
He's in jail.
See, tax evasion. Not good.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're not caught.
No, just not.
No. Go pay your taxes. You're welcome. And most of you kids stay in school.
The track that I would probably check out would be Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
The One Ring.
And James.
Oh, sorry.
Porn.
I'm just thinking of porn.
Star Wars.
Never heard of it.
It's a little film.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for letting me share the stage with you. I played two demons on Angel. The Trask from The Scourge, and then also the Aethros demon. I've got you under my skin when the little boy was... This is my first time here. I'm just very, very impressed by just all the way across the board how creative all of you are. It's really impressive. So I would say the writing track would be of interest. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow. Richard.
Richard Hatch played the captain, right? No, that's very sweet of you. I think I met him before. I think I met him in London before. Very sweet man. Very, very sweet man. And by the way, he's not in jail. Next question.
I just wanted to thank you on behalf of other people that won't get the opportunity to come up here for coming to the convention and doing this. It's very much appreciated by everyone here. And thank you. I did have one small question for Nicholas. Recently, Joss Whedon announced that he was working on a season 8 version of Buffy in comic book form. He decided to restructure it exactly as he would, as if he had made an 8th season of Buffy and continued the story right where it left off after the last episode. He's writing the first 3 issues and the general story arc. I was just wondering if you were the slightest bit curious to find out what would have happened to your character.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And so I think that should answer all your questions for the movie right there.
Does it make
do you know?
Oh, I had no idea. The first.
Yeah, because I think I said yesterday that I felt Xander at this point was popping a lot of pills and drinking a lot of booze. That's what I felt. And then if we ever did do a movie, that he would sober up really quickly. So I would be interested to know if that was correct.
Yeah, I think the first issue comes out later on this year, so I think everyone here will be interested to find out what happens.
But yeah, that'd be great. I would love to know that. But so you don't know?
Oh, no, I
guess I can call him.
Yeah.
Call him right now.
You don't have his number.
Number two is his number.
Green Lantern.
Thank you.
Ask away.
My question is for Nicholas.
That's a surprise.
Your character on Buffy was always like the coolest because he was like an inspiration for non-jocks out there.
And the non-jocks out there?
Yeah. The ones who didn't were the popular guys. You were the normal, always running into the face of danger. My question is, with the way your character was developing over the season, do you think if it would continue, you would have become a watcher for a future Slayer or something?
I was more of a peeping Tom. and I think Caleb knew that, so he took one of my eyes away. I don't think it was going to be anything, because even the Watcher was somewhat supernatural, you know. So I don't think I was being prepped for anything. That was, I was going to be the Slayer. It was going to go male.
Or you were going to go female.
I think you'll probably find out in the comic book Xander starts taking his estrogen pills, and then by the last comic, he'll have the Trans America Change operation. So read, guys. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. While I'm popping pills and drinking pills. Awesome.
I have two questions.
Yes.
This is one for Claire.
Thank you.
Who?
I'll take this one.
How did it feel when you were working on Buffy to work with Nicholas Bennett? Now for my real question. I know you guys currently have projects, but for everyone who doesn't know, what are your huge current projects that you're doing, as to TV and movies, drama plays and stuff?
If you guys like the TV show House, watch it. It'll be on Tuesday. And then I have a movie coming out around Halloween called Grave Dancers. If you guys like Prison Break, Dominic Purcell from that plays my husband. It's a scary thing in modern day culture, guys. So those are my two projects that are coming out most recently, or soonest, or however you want to phrase it.
There's a movie on ABC Family coming out tomorrow. Chaos.
I guess that's sooner than Tuesday.
Yeah, it is.
But you win again, Nicholas.
It's tomorrow the 4th, you're the 5th.
I thought I had it wrapped up with the 5th.
And I just finished a play with Noah Wiley in L.A. called Lobster Alice and Dory Barton, and that was actually my first play, which is very exciting. And then I've got a couple movies coming out in the spring. They're still in post-production, so I'm not privy to that kind of stuff.
I'm going to be serving drinks at a TGI Friday.
Will you have your flair on?
I will. I love lots of flair. A couple of commercials out right now. One for beef jerky.
and I just did a small role in a Spanish language independent movie. I did. No, seriously. Not a word. Yes, and we are actually actively working on turning Stunt Cox into an animated project called The Titans of Justice. We're filling our own world form a porn superhero team.
That's great. Do you guys wear Titans? Is that where the Titans comes from?
No, we wear robes.
Oh, that's sick. Do you ever think about maybe making it Titans? Because of the Titans of Justice? It's like a double XL.
That would be really obvious.
First time, but the robe isn't. Think about it. Okay, next time.
I'm doing a film called Actions Finished. It's called Actual Footage, and it will be out. And there is with my cohort from Witchblade, Eric Atabari. We're doing. We just finished a viral marketing thing that he's doing called Stone Landscape, which was shot earlier today, and also The Dreamers. I've been doing more directing lately than anything else. I directed a theater show called The Shiny Red Button, which was an interactive show for kids. I directed a film called Seven Generations about Native American Indians and how what they do today affects the world seven generations from today. And I'm in prep, otherwise known as fundraising mode, for a romantic comedy called Coming Clean and a family film called Are You My Father, which I'm taking around and shopping around. So. Doing more of the writing and directing. I'm also relocated. I live here in Atlanta now, and I teach screenwriting and directing and acting here locally, and I have a relationship center over in Atlantic Station where instead of directing actors, we direct real people to really kind of have more satisfaction and fulfillment in their daily lives and their connection with others.
It was, right? And it wasn't it that like some unsuspecting girl might actually be dating her father? God, Fox. Who's your daddy? That's what it was called. Who's your daddy? You guys
missed it. That has nothing to do with my film.
Nothing, really?
No, my film project is about a 10-year-old boy who grows up with his mom and his grandfather, and he never really knew his dad, and the grandfather accidentally slips out one day that his father's alive, and he convinces his grandfather to take him on this journey to meet his dad.
Oh, great.
And Billy Crystal just said no.
So it's not quite as exciting as the Fox special.
No. So the father never dates his son?
The father never dates his son, no. Not unless... Not
maybe,
unless
do you ever think about meeting Jackie? And then maybe Billy Crystal says yes.
Well, you know, if you want to sign on, we can do some reruns and, you know, okay. You know, pop some pills and date your dad, kind of thing.
The young for the son, though. Next.
We've got a question on the other mic.
Okay. Hi. This question is for everybody, but especially for Claire. Have you guys ever been confused for your characters? I mean, Claire, you're a pretty scary bitch. I mean, how were you treated in the supermarket and stuff? Did people ever just... you know, run away from you?
All the time.
It has nothing to do with the character.
Has to do with the pill pop. For me, mostly young children, they are scared of me. I told the story the other day, but I was just in Texas and was meeting a little girl whose mom wanted her to meet me, and she was like clinging the tables, like trying not to walk up to me, and the mom is like shoving this poor little thing. So little kids have trouble separating reality from what's not fantasy, whatever, whatever I am on your TV. But not really so much with the adults. I don't know. Nick?
Yeah, I'd say you're fantasy.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sure yes. You know what I mean? Never at a supermarket. It always seems to be at this massage parlor I go to.
Happy endings.
Happy trails, I think is what it's called.
There you go.
Ew, that's gross. That just grossed me out. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. It's, you know, people will, if they don't know my real name, they say, hey, you're Xander. You know, I don't know who that was. So I'm sure yes.
James, does your loose skin often get confused?
Yeah, not so much. Oh. Feel bad for me.
But we can tell you religion by looking at your face, though, which is the nice part.
This question's for Anthony Sestara. On Angel, when you came first for you, what was the makeup time? What was the time of makeup?
Oh, for the demons? Well, it's pretty involved in terms of they have to do a head mold. So that takes a few hours. And the first one, the Scourge Trask, the Scourge, they actually had preformed masks. But the second one, the Aetheros, was a little bit more complicated, so it took a couple of hours at least, you know, plus the airbrushing and everything. But I would say a good 3 hours.
So. Quit your whining. Mine only took about 2.5 hours.
Claire?
It kind of required any hair and makeup. I was ready to go. Roll out of bed and look like that.
Well, you know, when God is happy, we can make you. You know what I mean?
No, I
because, just had, you had a lot of stuff going on.
I had a lot of, my hair evolved. My hair had an arc of its own.
Which Trump had a lot to do with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Which I'm sure did.
No, I don't think so. Not on my watch.
Not here. Not on Fox. So, yeah, just my makeup took no time, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but my hair would, over the course of the season, and actually, the first episode, that's my natural hair, and they spent the rest of the season trying to replicate it by putting 2 more hours of work into it. So,
oh my God, your hair.
They were.
What happened to all your prosthetics?
My prosthetics? I didn't have to wear it.
Am I not thinking of the same character? Glory, right?
I had to wear a cheek prosthetic.
That's right.
At the end. The very end. Like, I don't even know if it was a prosthetic. It was more just like a band-aid.
Gash?
Yeah, gash. A bump from the troll hammer.
Gash cream.
They didn't have any hair people for me when I went in. They actually, mine took about 4 hours, and they had this little hard cap they put on top of my head with a chin strap. And these little steel spikes sticking out the top, little square holes. And then they put the cowl over and the mask over it, and looked like, and then they painted it all, and it looked like these little steel spikes on my head. And when I walked on the set, like, oh man, you know, are you okay? You know, it looks so real.
Because they thought that steel spikes were literally coming out of your brain.
It was literally coming out of my brain.
Hey, don't move! Don't move! Can we get a doctor? Really, really bad has happened to you.
We don't need to rehearse.
How many fingers do I have going out?
Luckily, did that way because I wouldn't be able to get out of the trailer with the antlers on. You know, and
you can't get out of an airplane antler with those.
No. And then when it
very wide.
I think it was a 10-pointer. But anyway, they put one of the antlers on this side of the head, and I started to do the thing like the dog in the Grinch. And they put the other one on, and then come back up, you know. Smooth sailing after that. It's like Marcia Brady with a book on your head.
Or antlers.
Or antlers. Marcia Brady with antlers on her head, yes.
That was my favorite episode.
Hi, this question is for Claire Framer, and thank you all for coming out today. Claire, what was it like having to share your character / body with a guy?
What was it like having to share my character body with a guy, with Charlie Weber, who played Ben? It was very funny when he had to wear my clothes. It's not so funny when I had to wear his. It was definitely an interesting aspect of the character. I think he incorporated more of my physicality and movements into his character, since Glory was definitely, at least most of the season, the dominating personality. So it didn't affect me as much, but it was definitely fun to see Charlie have to go through what he had to go through to incorporate glory.
Hi guys, glad you're here. This question's for everybody. We as fans obviously like, you can tell by my shirt because it says brown coat. When we have somebody who creates something that we admire, we tend to follow them from place to place in Serenity and so forth. I'm just curious if any of you guys read Joss's Astonishing X-Men because it just kicks butt.
Are we what? I'm sorry.
Do you follow the stuff that Joss has done post-Buffy and Angel, his creative process and his other stuff, follow it at all?
It was Serenity, right? That was great, and I know that he's working on Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah, I went up for Wonder Woman. Didn't get it.
Outside of Serenity, I haven't read Wonder Woman yet, but Serenity was fantastic. He's a talented guy. There's no stopping.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that when you work with someone who's talented like Joss, and when you're an artist in general, you follow your peer's career. And not that Joss is our peer, but we all are each other's peers, and we've worked with him. So we tend to know what's going on, you know, not only with each other, but people we've worked with and him. And definitely, I think everybody's curious to see what happens next and if Wonder Woman comes to fruition and, you know, how it turns out and what happens after that. And I don't know, I hope that answers your question.
Speaking of Wonder Woman, real quick, I recently directed a promo trailer for Wonder Woman that you can see on YouTube. A local actress here in town wanted to audition, and she hired me to direct a film trailer. We wrote the film trailer and produced it and shot it. And it ended up on some Whedon boards, and you guys loved it, so thank you for that. And if you haven't seen it, I think you can still go to YouTube and look up Wonder Woman Clark Wolf and check it out.
Hi, this question is for Nick and Buffy. Why is it that whenever you like someone, they always end up being a demon?
Why is that, Nick? Not only in Buffy, but...
Yeah, I know. It is Buffy as well, trust me. No, I feel like I'm speaking to the dead right now. No, I'm joking. Let's talk in terms of Buffy. Okay. I felt that they liked my reaction to demons, you know, and to the fact that I dated them, and you know, and really, you know, the parallel of Buffy and Xander, you know, never happy, never finding that love, it's because they were supposed to be together. That or Xander and Spike. I'm not really sure. Some sort of jiggy apartment, you know? Spike, honey, I'm going out for pet smokes. You know, and all of a sudden it's knock, knock, knock on Giles' door. I've seen the pictures. But I don't smoke, so that's a lie. Don't smoke, though. Dang.
Have you ever forgotten your lines during a big set?
Have we ever forgotten our lines? Yeah? No, you got a question? I mean, it's yes. But, oh.
That's his line coming in now.
I like to have a big, some sort of ear feed, into my ear. Absolutely, I have, but my worst experience was this last, when I was doing the play, and there's no hiding, you know. If you forget a line when you're working in front of a camera, it's like, okay, shoot, we'll pick it up from that spot where we messed up the line. But I was on stage, and they call it going up on a line in theater, which I've just learned. And I was just a complete blank. I was a blank, and I knew that I just wanted to run off stage and hide, but you can't, so you have to kind of figure out, you know, where you are. So on stage, it's. You ever have a dream that you've shown up to school and you're not wearing anything at all? Yeah, have you? Okay. Have you really? Yeah. It's worse than that. It's really happening. So, yes.
Yes, no, I mean, we're, forget lines because a lot of people are counting on you to remember them, especially when you're starting out. That was one of my huge pressures when I started on Buffy, was, you know, I had a lot of dialogue and I didn't get fired, so I wanted to remember all my lines. But at the end of the day, as hard as you try, we're human beings, so of course you're going to forget. And definitely theater, it's harder to recover from than TV or film, because at least then, you know, you can say, okay, hold on, I forget, and those scripts are right, and that was all you could do. And in theater, he's talking about you got to count on your other actors to help you and direct you in the right direction of where the scene should go. Okay.
And sometimes you have to say the exact way it's written. Sometimes you can paraphrase, but then sometimes the script will be, no, it's written like this, and you must say like this, because the writer specifically worded specifically how it's written.
Yeah, Buffy, there was never a time that we could paraphrase it. No. If we missed an A or a but.
And it's your, but you are.
Yeah, we go back and we do it.
Because they're paid a lot of money to write those words.
The most difficult thing, of course, is when there's like any kind of highly technical information. I mean, that's the thing that actors really complain about when it has to do with any sort of, you know, the ship's quaternium fusion.
Medical is one thing, but I mean, if you're just fudging about it, if it's like, sci-fi thing, you know, and it doesn't even exist. It's like, you guys realize this doesn't even exist.
Yeah, at least with medical or like corporate.
You made up a word, and now I'm going to make up a word off your made up word, you know what I mean?
And a made up situation.
Yes.
Talking to a demon.
This question is for Nick. Where did you get your hat?
I got my hat at a store called Paul Smith in London. London, Europe. it's designed by the name of Paul Smith, and I know that some people, I had one lady come up to me and just felt, nice hat. I'm like, oh, you like it? She just turned out 4 or 5 minutes saying how much she didn't like it. She then came up later to apologize to me, but yeah, listen, I was kind of dating.
I love Paul Smith's stuff.
Yeah, Paul Smith is a great designer, but it's Paul in London here.
Paul Smith makes the best men's clothing, cufflinks, and hats. I like that.
What's that? Yeah, fuck it. Dude, you don't even want to know how much I pay for this hat.
All right.
It's a Xander hat, too.
Thank you.
Fans of the show, one of the things we enjoy the best is all the romantic pairings. And I would like to know from all of the people, even if you had whatever size your part was, what romance did you really want that didn't happen?
Clem and Faith. What?
What do you mean? Question is what?
Who didn't you kiss on the show?
I think Lori's the only person I didn't kiss on that show.
She said we can fix that now. We're not on the show. The Chaos Demon, of course, always wanted to hook up with Buffy. But what's that?
Chaos reigns, man.
Chaos reigns.
Chaos has a theory.
Yes.
Your name is Buffy Summers.
Priscilla was.
A theory.
Could be monkeys. Hold on. No, I do have one. It could be with. Yeah, I think I did this. Hold on. Let's see if I can do it. Could be witches, some evil witches, which is ridiculous because witches, they are persecuted women, power will come out of it.
cut, back to one.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, it's funny, I did it in one take when Will did it, which is insane because I can pop my head. Alright.
Take two.
Take two, this is where I got it. Could be witches, some evil witches, which is ridiculous because witches are persecuted women power. I love it. Earth. It's women, they were persecuted. What, how did it go?
Alright, ready? One, two, three, everybody.
From TV and film and stuff to actual theater was for you, because I know I've been doing theater my whole life, and that's a totally different experience rather than film.
Oh, yeah, it was insane. I was terrified of it, and it's, I mean, I was also the star of this play too. I never left the stage. I got coffee once, and then I came running back in. You know, it was awesome. It's kind of just the way that God has put things in my life, to be honest with you, you know? I went from not doing a TV show all of a sudden to being the lead of the TV show with no tape, and then I went from not doing a play to being, you know, the lead of this play. And it's, there was something really satisfying about it. I'm so accustomed to, you know, obviously shooting things out of order and you know, just working on that one scene. But, you know, when you do it, we have 6 or 7 times a week we were doing it. You know, you get that satisfaction of telling the whole story. So, and it's exhausting. You know, especially, we had 2 shows on Sundays, and my character just goes nuts, you know, on stage, and he's an arc, really, and he just flops away, you know, which works for the role, but it's, you know, by the time I was done with the second show on Sunday, I literally wanted to throw up. I mean, yeah, I'm exhausted. No, I'm sick. I'm fine. Don't worry about it, you know, but I'm just exhausted. Tissue? Vomit bag?
Theater takes a lot of work, a lot of energy. I mean, I grew up, I did a lot of theater growing up, and Mike was in the reverse. I went from theater to television and film, and it just takes a lot of energy, especially 2 shows on Sunday, so I commend you for that. And for me, it was like, I'm this little body of mine on stage doing all this stuff, and then not bring everything down in and into my eyes. So for me, it was about bringing everything smaller. So I can communicate from here as opposed to using my whole entire body. Because on stage, they have to see it in the back row.
They buy tickets too.
Theater was also my background, and it's fun certainly to be able to do something over and over until you get it right, as far as film and television. Theater is a lot more gratifying in many ways because you have the audience right there in front of you, which is really encouraging and a lot of fun. And then like half hour comedies are sort of in between the two because there's a live audience and yet you still can maybe do a take over if you need to.
So those are great. In order.
In order.
In order.
Put a thumb. Just like that.
First off, I'd like to thank all of you for showing up today and taking time out of your day. But this question is for Andy. And it's been, you can find with Witchblade, but if the Witchblade series had continued, do you think it would have been reset again?
The question was about Witchblade, which was a show that I'd done with Yancey Butler. It was on TNT. And the first episode, time got set back. And then I think the second episode, there was sort of another situation, and then the question was, would it have been reset back again? I think it would have. What it sounded like the showrunners were talking about was continuing forward and getting it a little bit closer to that original feel that people seem to like. It's kind of a funny thing sometimes with networks is that, you know, if something comes in under the radar, sometimes a network will come and say, well, you know, it's not broken, but we'd really like to fix it even more, and it'll take kind of an interesting track. But then on the other hand, you'll have shows where they get it, they understand, and they say, well, let's just stay out of the way and let it continue the way it's been going. I think Jaws, that's probably the way it was, right?
Yeah.
you know, pretty much have free reign.
Yeah, they would try and give him notes, but then... if he wanted to keep something, he would just make something really outrageous and say, oh, you can't do that, and then, well, no, I'll keep that, you know, knowing that he was going to keep that. So.
Let me ask you, would he ever write things just to sort of get them off track, like sort of exaggerate a scene or something, knowing that
he would
come and...
knowing that they... Yeah,
and so that he could then do what he really wanted to do.
He would overwrite something knowing that he wouldn't do that. A lot of writers do that.
Okay, before my question, I have a comment. Larry Clem did it together with Faith. I wrote it for you when you asked me to, so. Don't even say it. Okay, my question is for Nick. Having watched all of the shows several thousand times, I want to know your opinion on who you think was more of the demon, Cordelia or Anya.
On the show.
On the show. Anya killed. Anya. Anya. So I didn't marry her. Good. Sorry. Good. What? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was no excuse for what Cordelia did to me. None.
So,
good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Hallett.
Look at how sexy Andy is today with his jacket, his shirt.
So, Claire.
Yes, where are you? Raise your hand. Over here. Okay, got it.
Right here. Have you gotten even with Nick yet for smacking you with that wrecking ball?
The answer's yes. And you will not know how.
Psycho Beach Party.
I think they're going to make a new Bring On the Psycho Beach Party.
Or Psycho Bitch Bring It On. All right. Yes. What's your question?
Just, were there any funny stories in the making of either of those films?
Were there any funny stories in the making of Bring It On or Psycho Beach Party? I imagine Bring It On was just, honestly, it was one of the most hilarious times of my life. It was my first film and my first part in a film and my first, I hadn't done any TV, so it was like my first job, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And the job was, we're going to send you to San Diego for 4 months and you're going to be with, you know, 19 other people your age, and you're going to cheerlead and we're going to put it on film. Which I think that the tonality of how much fun we had translated to the movie, and that's what made it so enjoyable. I mean, nobody thought that movie was going to be successful. Universal would like, cutting the budget the whole way through, and you know, it turned out to be like number one in the box office for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So it was a huge surprise to everyone. It's hard to single out one specific thing. We just had a great time making it, and to this day, I haven't equaled that experience. So I was very spoiled. Other than the, never mind.
I was equally as shocked when Psycho Beach Party was number one at the box office.
I actually went to the screening of Psycho Beach Party at Sundance that year.
Yeah,
I was there.
Me too.
Yeah. Weird. Funny.
It was like the 11:30 show.
Maybe you did.
Maybe I was a woo.
Maybe I was.
like,
and I was like, he's woo-woo.
I couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Oh my God.
Woo. Okay, anyway, it was great. It was a great experience. It was, you're doing a beach movie, you know what I mean? It was also the process and working with Lauren, it was great to see her go through all those emotions like that. It was really a fantastic experience. You're welcome.
For Claire, Glory was a very delightful combining of self-absorbed diva and insane, power-hungry goddess, and that's a very delicate balance in what the writers gave you and in discussions that you had to have with like the writers or with Joss or with directors. How did you go about building that character?
How did we go about creating the character?
Well, I'm creating it, and then you personally, what did you draw upon?
Well, the first thing about Glory was I didn't think of her in any sort of negative terms. I just thought of her as a woman who knew what she wanted, she had a sense of entitlement, and she was going to achieve her goals. So that was the most important thing for me to keep in my head, because I think if you think of a character negatively, you cannot objectively play them, and it's necessary to play even someone who's bad objectively, you know? That aside, it was sort of like, I came in when I first did the audition and gave my interpretation of the character, and the writers just went with it. They flew with it, and so I didn't really have a lot of input or creative meetings with the writers or the directors. I just kind of like would get the scripts, take my character that I had worked on and apply it to that, and then once we were on the set to actually film, we'd add in little things like, oh yeah, maybe she can be, you know, trying on shoes in this scene, or maybe she can be, you know, doing this or doing that, and that's, I think, also exemplified the personality of her, so if that makes any sense.
To Glory, Buffy was the villain of the story.
Right.
Okay.
But to Glory, she was just, you know, someone who wanted to get back home. She wasn't a villain to herself.
This question is for everybody. I wanted to know either what was your favorite episode of your acting or watching from the Buffy or the Angel?
I think my favorite show was Hush. I thought Hush was awesome. Acting-wise, it was the one where I left town, actually, and I had that great little scene with Buffy in the little VW bug. That was a fun scene.
I'm interested in it, and it's an odd little thing, but I think I really, really identified with the Renfield, and I loved playing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That whole thing, and I just, you know, I didn't know how I was going to play him until I went to set the first day that I shot Renfield. And I loved the masturbator scene, I just loved how I was just so focused on this thing, and being fucked, and just kind of being around. I think it's also where I was. And then probably Once More Feeling would be the one that I
for me, filming wise, I liked filming the 100th episode because it culminated my character. I knew I was gone after that. Of course, I got hit with the wrecking ball. So, I just liked every aspect of that episode. I liked, like I said, the culmination of the character. I liked all the stunt work. I liked kicking Buffy's head off and realizing she was a robot. I thought that was really funny. So it was like kind of the best episode for me.
I was going to make a disclaimer, but you know. I just think the musical episode was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I love that episode as well. I was going to go with the Buffy musical. I too also loved Hush. Of course, that's where I made my debut. For those of you who didn't know, I was an extra in the scene. I think I was about 16 people behind Sarah in a classroom scene. I'm not even sure. Did it make it on camera? So that was a lot of fun for me. But the Buffy musical was probably something that I enjoyed watching the most. And I also enjoyed watching Amy Acker's character develop. That was a lot of fun for me on Angel. Yeah. She did a really wonderful job with that. And just, you know, seeing her, finding her in Pylea in a cave, just as crazy as a three-legged dog. And then having her come back to Los Angeles and sort of getting accustomed to the group and the gang, and then actually, well, she was writing on the walls for a little while there. But once she got herself together, it was really neat to see her develop the character that far. But then to go into Illyria was just wild, and I thought it was great. Plus, it was a pretty hot little costume.
Yeah. How crazy exactly is a three-legged dog?
Well, you've seen Leon. Take one step further than that.
So that's the end of our Q&A. Can we get a big hand of applause for our guests?
Throughout Buffy, there's a lot of double, like twin episodes, and just wondering, you know, everybody else got to use, you know, body doubles and extra screenshots. You had an actual twin you used for your episodes? Where you thought that was like?
Me?
Yes, you. Sorry, Nick.
Oh, yeah. It's Kelly.
Kelly Donovan.
Yes, he changed it.
I'm just wondering how it was like working with your brother.
That was
just
fantastic.
Introducing family into your Buffy universe.
Yeah, no, he worked art department on the show, so he was around, and he did the replacement episode, and then he did all my stunts. So, you know, from like, I think season 4 on. And then also, strange enough, he did Claire stunts.
He too. Did. Good. Very good.
Above and beyond the call of
duty. Didn't need to do that, but
he did.
Talented.
Absolutely.
Good. Great in the red dress.
He has a very funny story because very rarely, very rarely, if you have a stunt double, do they ever get to shoot the stunt double's face? And they're always trying to hide the stunt double's face.
But not on Buffy.
And not with them, because they could literally just,
darn!
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a slow motion if Kelly's head's away from the camera. You know, and then there's always those, like, inevitable times, too, where like, you know, Xander was passed out or, you know, whatever in the background a lot, you know?
And
typically we would always have to wait until they shot the stunt stuff or I was just being seen in the background of the fight and I'm like, time out. Listen, what do you guys think about putting Kelly back there? Hmm? And how can you say no, especially when there's a slow motion? Guys, thank you very much.
Yes,
thank you guys very much.